standing ovation and a round of applause can we all welcome Reverend Dr. Julius Omomo.
Hallelujah. I believe that's for Jesus. Let's make it louder for him. He deserves all the glory, deserves all the honor. Please be seated. God bless you. Once again, let me thank God immensely for my dear brother and friend, the one whom the Lord has raised as a set man over this vision. And each time I come to this place, I keep giving glory to God because of what the Lord is doing through this commission. And with what we are seeing, we know that the Lord has a great future for the kingdom of God. And then coming in this morning to see, I believe this is the first set of the sons of the ministry. All right, let's celebrate God for these ones who have released themselves to be trained. This is a great work. This is a great work. Thank you for your commitment to excellence. Thank you for your commitment to advancing the kingdom of God. And I'm seeing that God has actually moved you, you know, from success to significance. And because this is what it's all about. I want to thank God for the things he will yet do. Oh, I celebrate my sister, Mrs. Odejide. I celebrate the co-leaders with my brother, the pastors in this ministry, and all your great people. I was telling Pastor Ekotun a few days ago, I said, you will still have to fulfill the assignment of coming to train my protocols. Please let's celebrate this protocol team of this commission. They're doing a great job. Anytime I come around, I'm always, you know, awed by the great, you know, commitment, dedication to excellence. So I want to thank God that you had a great session on Thursday, you had a great session yesterday, and today I'm trusting the Lord that beginning from, you know, this to all others that will come, that the Lord will impart our lives greatly in the name of Jesus. How many of us are pastors in the house? You're pastors? All right, so that I know my audience. Okay, how many of us are church workers? Church workers, you know. All right, that's good. Now, because we'll be speaking, I'll be speaking to the subject, exponential church growth. Exponential church growth. I think you'll find that on pages 13 and 14 of the program booklet. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for what you did on Thursday. Thank you for what you did yesterday. This morning, I pray that you will cause this station to come through the simplicity of your spirit. Open up our hearts to receive light from above. And let this light move us to have commitment to the growth of that which you have committed into our hands. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Now, exponential church growth. God is the God of growth. God is committed to growth. God is committed to seeing increase in everything that is associated with him, including the church of the living God. Now, anyone that wants to associate with the church and want to see the church grow must realize that the church is first and foremost an organism before you view the church as an organization. An organism as a living organism, everything that is living is wired to grow. And so the church, when you see the church as an organism, we have a common definition of what the church is, a group of people, baptized believers who meet together for the purpose of worship, fellowship, you know, service, mission, and all the lives. Now, this has to do with a body of people, not a structure. The building is not the church. The people makes up the church. And because people grow, the church also need to grow. So anytime you are associated with any church and there is no growth, it is a clear indication that something is wrong. Just like someone that is sick will not be able to grow the way he or she should. So also it is with a church that is sick. Now, one of the things I'm passionate about is the revitalization of the church. That's where I focus on during my doctoral study, revitalization, bringing life back to the church. Because we have a number of churches today that they are no more growing, they have plateaued. Some have started declining, while some others are already dead. And they only have structure. They have, you know, they still have a form of organization. But there's no more life in such a body. So when we talk about the growth of the church, let's know that every true pastor, every lover of God, must have a desire that the church should grow. So exponential church growth is a phenomenal growth. A growth that is not just when you're talking about addition. When it becomes a multiplication, can you imagine that just one day, 3,000 souls were added to the church? And at another time, they became 5,000. That's talking about exponential. So when we talk about exponential growth, we're looking at a rapidly increasing church. The church that will increase in number, and the church that will also increase in the number of disciples. So church growth has to do with two dimensions. There is the quantitative growth, bringing more souls into the church. But you should not stop there. You need to look at the qualitative growth. These people that are coming into the church, can their faith stand the test of time? So a true church growth should be balanced. It should be an outward expression of the grace of God as well as the inward development of every soul that is brought into the church. So church growth is a participation between God and man. I met the brother leading the prayer, you know, referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, where in Paul said, I plant, Apollo waters, but it is God that makes things to grow. Praise the Lord. So that tells you that church growth is a participation between man and God. So church growth does not depend on God alone. It depends on God and man. So God is committed to bringing the invisible factor to play, but the visible aspect must be handled by the man that is committed to growth. So church growth is turning sinners to saints, making sure that those saints become true disciples of the Lord. People that are ready to die for Christ. People that are ready to follow Him for the rest of their life. Not people that are just coming, you know, for bread and butter and everything. You remember how the crowd gathered just because Jesus was doling out bread. And the moment Jesus changed the narrative, the Bible tells us that so many left Him. John chapter 6. And we have a number of people today that come into assembly like this. They come for different reasons. Now that's why you need to know that it is easy to gather crowd. Praise the Lord. Anybody can gather crowd. But we are not talking about crowd gathering. We are talking about the growth of what is called the true church. So if you are not committed to the principles of growth, now, you may gather crowd today. You can look around you. A number of, you know, denomination churches have gathered crowd at one time or the other. Some of this crowd are no more. They fade away. So, I'll be sharing with you some basic principles, like I did mention yesterday, talking about the essentials of leadership. I'll be looking at also the essentials, the principles that bring about exponential growth. The first one is perception. What you see. Do you see growth? God Himself desired the church to grow. And God did not stop there. God envisions growth. God envisions it. You need to see it. It is good to desire the church to grow. But can you see the church growing? Or have you drawn a conclusion that where you are cannot grow? Even though the church, you think the church can grow. But because of the environment you find yourself, you think where things cannot grow there. If there are people in that environment, then you need to know that the church can grow. So every true pastor should have the right perspective about the growth of the church. Because what you see will determine what you pursue and eventually what you possess. You remember how God drew the attention of Jeremiah. He was asking Jeremiah, what do you see? And Jeremiah said, well, I see the almond tree, that branch. And God said, well, you have seen correctly. And because you have seen correctly, I will hasten over my word to fulfill it. You need to see very well. Because your correct perception of the growth of the church will make you to commit yourself to ensuring that it comes into reality. That will make you to pray, that will make you to plan, that will make you to also pursue the matter of growth. Now let me tell you this, that what you see is perception. And how you see it is perspective. What you see is perception. How you see it is perspective. You may see growth, but how are you seeing it? Are you seeing growth where you are? So the second thing that I need to mention now is the issue of passion. If you see it, then you must have a drive towards it. Passion is your inner drive. Passion is a burning desire within you that will make you to say, well, what I have seen, Lord, I look up to you to bring it to pass. When you see, that will help you to know that, well, this crowd out there on the street everywhere, they need to come into the kingdom. That Jesus said, there are so many sheep out there that need to come into the fold. So what you see will also drive you not to rest on your oars. You want to be on the street. You want to either engage in one-on-one to make sure that people are evangelized, people come into the church. And when they come into the church, your passion will want you to also do whatever it takes to make them to be nurtured, to make them to remain. So that as they come through the front door, they don't go through the back door. So passion is what will help you not to surrender to the norms. Passion will put you on the run as a minister, as a worker, as one that desires the church to grow. Number three, I'm talking about the principles that bring about exponential growth. Number one, I said perspective or perception. Number two, your passion. Number three is prayer. And when you have an inner drive, when you have this hunger to pursue what you see, you will want to pray about it. Because prayer is the A to Z of church growth. Because you need to pray that the hearts of people will be opened up for the word of God to come in. Now, the scripture tells us in Psalm 2 verse 8, where God was making a promise, I'm going to give you the earth for your inheritance. The earth there has nothing to do with brick and mortars. It has to do with souls. Praise the Lord. So if you know that God wants to give souls to you, then you will pray about it. You will pray about it. In Acts chapter 16, you see how Paul and his team got to Philippi. And the Bible says the heart of one woman called Lydia was opened up. And because of that opening of the heart, now her household were brought into faith. Because her heart opened up. So if you want to see growth, you must pray that the hearts of people will be open. Because you can preach the same message that everyone is preaching. It only takes the open heart to make the difference. So you need to know that you must pray for hearts to be open. Number two, for church to grow, know that the devil will not want the church to grow. So you must be ready to contend with the enemy.
When Jesus said, I will build my church, Matthew 16:18, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now Jesus had already warned us that the enemy represented by the gate of hell will contend against the growth of the church. And that's why you must be ready to contend with the enemy. Contend with the enemy. You know, the devil is a very wicked devil. Can you imagine that the way the devil sees men, sees people, he sees them as goods. Praise the Lord. He sees them as what? Goods. As like property. That's why the scripture tells us in Luke chapter 11. Now Jesus himself speaking, he said, no one will go into any territory of a strong man to take away his good without first binding the strong man. And in that text, he was not talking about properties. He was talking about people that the enemy have dominated their life. That's why the scripture tells us that this gospel is not hidden at all. If it is hidden, it is only hidden to them that the God of this world has blinded their minds. The God of this world have brought them under his domain and will not want them to see the light of the gospel. That's why you need to contend with the enemy. And you need to pray for converts. You need to pray and contend with city gates. Wherever your ministry is located, know that there are gates. When Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Know that anywhere a church is, there is a gate. And that gate will want to contend with it. So that's why you must be engaged in spiritual warfare to ensure that such gates are brought to their knees. When the Bible says in Psalm 24 from verse 8, and talking about lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door. We're talking about forces that will not want the King of Glory to come into the assembly of his people. That will not want the glory of God to be revealed so that people, you know, will submit to God. When the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 12, now Herod, that terrible king, now took James, the leader of the church, killed him, and saw that he pleased the Jews. Now the Bible says he now went for Peter and also imprisoned Peter. I believe that at first when he, you know, took James, the church went to sleep. But when he took Peter, I think they woke from their slumber. And the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 12 verse 5 that the church prayed continuously for Peter. And as they prayed, you know, light shone in the prison where Peter was kept. Because the church prayed, the angel, there was a divine intervention, the angel came from heaven and to rescue Peter. But one interesting thing about that experience was that the Bible tells us when Peter got up and the angel told him, pick your things and let's go. The Bible tells us that, you know, those chains, as the light shone, the chains were, you know, shattered. It fell off his hand. But the scripture tells us that they moved from gate to gate. And they moved to the outer gate, which is the gate of the city. The Bible says that gate opened in his own accord. Praise the Lord. There are gates that need to open for the church in your hand to grow. And unless you are ready to contend for the growth of the church, the gates will not open. Will not open. You must learn to contend. And I tell you that there are a number of gates. I remember when I got to the church where I am now, the church was about 1996 and 2008, I think about 12 years, if my mathematics is correct. And now, I realized that that church, that I needed to deal with some things. I needed to deal with some. The church started as a true church, started very well, but there were some things that the devil, you know, brought into the church that people were not aware of. That church was not meant to retain leaders. So I had to contend with foundational issues. And I traced that issue to the church that gave birth to that issue, to that church. And for a consistent period of time, over 2 years, I kept addressing the foundational issues. I kept addressing them. Now there are some people that, you know, God may want you to do well where you are, but unless you have done a research in the realm of the spirit to know what are the things that will likely not make you to do well where you are, and contend with them. I want you to know that every church wants their pastor to stay. Praise the Lord. But there are forces that may not want some pastors to stay. So you must learn to contend with them. So in order to see the church grow, you must pray for gates to open. You must pray for disciples to grow. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 4 verse 12, Epaphras, Paul said, he labored in prayers so that these disciples will be established. He labored in prayers. Pray for multitudes. Pray for God to bring multitude. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 6, you know, when there was complaint in the early church about the needs of the widow not being met, now they wanted, you know, to shift the attention of the church from spiritual to social. But thank God that the leaders of the church at that time were discerning enough. They said, well, we are going to deal with the social aspect, but as for us, we will not leave the ministry of the word and prayer. Because they realized that they needed to commit themselves to that ministry of the word and prayer. And as they did that, the church grew. So know that for things to grow, you must pray them to grow. You must pray. You must pray. Number four, if you are going to see growth in anything God has committed to your hand, please learn to attract the presence of God. Learn to celebrate the presence of God. There is nothing that attracts people to the church other than when people say, well, God is in this place. 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 Where the presence of God is, the crowd will gather. Just like it said that where there is fire, the carcass, where there is the carcass, the eagles will truly gather. So, when the fire of God is burning in a place, people want to come and check to know what is happening. So make sure that you create the right environment to attract the presence of God and to retain the presence of God. There are some of us as leaders that our attitude will drive away the presence of God. When we do not honor the presence of God, we do not celebrate the presence of God, we do not also lead the church to celebrate the presence of God. That people can come to church and just do anything they want to do as if God is not in their midst. And number five, we're talking about the principles that will bring about exponential growth. The power of God. It's one thing to know that God is with you. Is yet another thing for that God that is with you to manifest His presence. God's presence is everywhere, but the expression of that presence is not everywhere. So when it comes to the church, let's know that signs and wonders, they are dinner bells that draw the multitude. In Matthew chapter 4, after Jesus gave his manifesto, after Jesus went around, you know, announcing that the kingdom of God had come. Now the Bible says he went about healing the sick, and as he did that, multitude came. Multitude came. Matthew chapter 4, 23 to 25. Multitude came. Multitudes are drawn by miracles. When people saw that the cripple that had been at a beautiful gate for many years, when they saw that that cripple got up, the crowd gathered to behold what had happened. So, whatever is carried out in church without the power of God is a jamboree. And we have a lot of jamborees in the church. Praise the Lord. Now, if you are a Baptist, for example, you know that there are churches that you have society this, society that. And sometimes, almost every Sunday, they have, you know, things around it. as if that's the focus of the church. The difference between a preacher and a lecturer is the power of God. If all that you are doing is to give lecture, you will not see growth. Praise the Lord. You must learn to attract the power of God and to allow the power of God to flow through you to bring in about transformation of life, signs and wonders. Number six, principles of exponential church growth is preaching. The word of God must be central to the growth of the church. Without the word of God, you can have crowd without real content. You can have crowd without real content. People can gather and make noise, and you know, I don't know if you have been to some places that when it is good to have, I will talk about praise later on, but sometimes you may have a place where people spend a lot of time to praise God, but when it is time for the word to come, they are asleep. Or sometimes they don't even pay attention to the word of God anymore. That's when they begin to loiter around and all of that. You won't see growth in that kind of environment. So it is the word of God that will turn a sinner into a convert, that will turn a convert into a disciple, that will turn a disciple into a discipler. The word of God is what you need to nourish the people. You know, when Paul labored over the church in Ephesus for 3.5 years, and he needed to move on in his missionary journey, you remember how in one of his journeys, he invited the elders of the church in Ephesus to meet with him at Miletus. And then he began to tell them how he had labored among them. He told them of the danger ahead, to tell them, look, if you don't pay attention and watch over the flock and feed the flock, wolves will come after my departure, and they will want to snatch away the flock. You know, if to talk about the history of the church in Ephesus is another one. Because when it comes to revitalization, I use the church in Ephesus as a prototype of a church that can move from growth to plateau, from plateau to dying or declining, and from declining to death. Because when people claim that churches don't die, it is because they don't know the Bible. It is the universal church that will not die, but a local church can die. And a local church does die. Praise the Lord. An example, we have them all over. All the churches in Revelation, Asia Minor, where are they today? So let's not go that way. But just to let you know that when it comes to the issue of the preaching of the word of God, you need to commit yourself to preaching the true gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, next week, by the grace of God, I'll be in Abuja. Part of my assignment is to also speak to pastors. And then one of the messages that God gave to me for that meeting is that preach the gospel. And to look at the dimensions of preaching the gospel. Now, when the word of God increases, the people will increase. When the word of God increases, the people will increase. Acts chapter 6 verse 7, the Bible says, the word of God became multiplied. Because of that, number of disciples multiplied. Even the Jews, those who used to criticize the church, they became obedient to the gospel because of the preaching of the word of God. Please don't allow anything to take away the word of God from you. Make sure that the word of God is central. My church, they know that it doesn't matter what you recommend from the convention. Convention officer is here. Anything that they recommend that will not allow the word of God to be central, I push it aside. You want to do this, you want to do drama, you want to do poem, you want to do all of that. Will it allow me to preach? So that's why sometimes when we do emphasis, I give them 15 minutes. It doesn't matter. Initially, they fought it. You can tell our people at the building.
that there's one rebel somewhere. Because anything that will shift the focus from the word of God, I fight it. I don't do emphasis. Go and check it. All right. We're talking about preaching. Preaching, making the word of God to be central. Number 7, you must learn to proclaim the word of God. Proclamation. This involves proclaiming the good news of Christ wherever man is found. I'm talking about soul winning. Laboring for souls. Going after souls. A going church is a growing church. A church that is going out is a church that is growing up. If a church focuses on just, you know, people should come, that church will not grow. Jesus did not say, as you go, now wait for the people to come. He said, no, go ye into all the world. Go to meet them where they are. Praise the Lord. Very important. The church should keep seeking and saving the lost. Jesus declaring about himself in Luke 19:10 said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save. The Son of Man is come. The Son of Man did not sit back in heaven and waited for the lost to come and meet him. The Son of Man left where he was and came to meet the lost souls where they are. And that's what we need to do to see the church grow. The principal task of the church is soul winning and not seeking for funds. Praise the Lord. Now, I believe in, you know, the issue of prosperity. I believe in the church having resources. But I don't make that to be the focus of the church. Because there are people today, they drive. Why they are looking for a crowd here and there is all about raising funds. That is not the heart of the master. Praise the Lord. Now, God can take care of what he has. I will not be speaking about finance today because it's a different subject altogether. God is more than enough to finance his work. Are you hearing me? Number 8, preservation. Why soul winning keeps the front door open? It is discipleship that makes the back door to be closed. Every church has a front door and a back door. I'm not talking about physical doors, but I'm talking about, you know, doors by principle, doors through which people come into the church. And as people come into the church, there are people that are leaving the church. And this will continue. But I let you know that the church that has more people going out than more coming in will decline and eventually die. So the church must preserve those who come in through discipleship, nurture them. Because if you are doing soul winning without commitment to discipleship, it's like you want to take a bath in the bathtub and you are trying to fetch water into the bathtub without putting a stopper. The more water you bring in, the more, you know, it goes out. So discipleship is an act of growing. Please take note of those 3 key words. Act of growing the convert you bring in through proclamation. An act of grooming them, nurturing them. And the act of grounding them to make sure that they are well established in the faith. So please take note of that. Number 9, we're talking about principles that bring about exponential growth. The 9th one is the art of praise. Every church that is committed to quality praise, we experience growth. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 19, God himself speaking to the prophet said, well, let the voice of thanksgiving, let the voice of rejoicing, let it multiply. And God now says, well, when I see that, I will multiply them. I will not allow them to be few. I will glorify them. I will not allow them to be small. That's why the scripture tells us in Acts chapter 2 verse 47, the church, the early church, as they
kept praising God day by day, the Lord kept adding to them so that you'll be saved. That's what happens. Because where there is a quality and continuous praise, a conducive atmosphere is already created that will release the presence of God, that will release the power of God, that will release the promises of God, the prophecies of God, and seeing God bringing into performance what He had promised. Yesterday when I came, I met an atmosphere of high praise. And I said, this is not a regular Baptist church. Praise the Lord. High praise. But I can tell you, by the special grace of God, I see God doing things when it comes to the miraculous. But I have seen that when it comes to the magnitude, the degree of miracles that I see them more in the atmosphere of praise. So I want us to know that when the scripture says in Psalm 22 verse 3, that God is enthroned on the praises of His people. I'm not talking about just making noise. I'm talking about praises that makes God the focus, not ourselves. Are you hearing me? Not our display, not our acrobatics. So praise. And I know that the pastor who wants to see the church grow must take the lead when it comes to creating an atmosphere of praise in the church. Number 10, the provision. This speaks about the ministry of care to the people. Growing churches pay attention to the material needs of their people. Growing churches pay attention to the material needs of their people. Authentic faith requires a flip side of the work. James said, if a brother comes to you, is naked, has no food, and you say, well, be warm, God bless you, and go. He said, well, you think you have faith. He said, your faith without work is already dead. So research has shown that people will go to where their needs are met. So supportive relations will cause the church to grow. When you read Acts chapter 2, 38 to 47, you see how meeting needs brought about growth. Go to Acts chapter 4, 34 to 36. Meeting needs, how it brought about growth. Very, very important. Number 11, we're talking about principles that bring about exponential growth. Partnership. Partnership. Apart from the partnership with God of the church, like I cited earlier on 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 6, that tells us that, look, Paul may plant, Apollo may water, but it's God that causes things to grow. Now that means that any church that will grow, you must have a partnership relationship with God. You must see God as the master of the work, and you must follow Him. But I'm looking at another dimension of partnership. A partnership between the clergy and the people. That if the church is going to grow, it's not a function of the pastor alone. Members must be made to play their own part. Ministry is not a one-man show. Every member should be turned into a minister. Every member of the church should use their gifts to minister to the body. You know, yesterday I was talking about making a commitment to ensure that people know how to discover their gifts and helping them to develop their gifts and to deploy their gifts. That's what I see, you know, Pastor Bolaji doing with the sons of the ministries. Praise the Lord. I believe that as you came under his training and tutelage, God will have helped you to maybe harness or maybe discover your gifts to also develop them. And as you go out there, you are going to deploy what God had graced you to do. So it's very important, because there must be a synergy between the clergy and the members of the church for the church to grow. But this synergy must also cut across churches and denominations. Praise the Lord. Cut across churches and denominations. Anytime we look at what we are doing And we see the expression of New Unity Baptist Church in some parts of the country and outside the country. We are happy that God is doing such through us. But it calls for, you know, investment. It is partnership that brought us to Ilorin to plant the first church, to plant the second church. I've told him I'm not planting another one. Praise the Lord. But it's partnership. You remember how Peter had to even call on his colleagues after he saw harvest. Sorry about that. Number 12. If you want to see church grow and to grow exponentially, you must plan for it. Planning. Research has revealed that growth stops when planning stops. The growth of the church will stop where the planning for it stops. So it is planning that will help the leader to see into the future. It is planning that will help the leader to connect between where he is and where he hopes to be. So a leader must sense the future before you see it happens. Sense it. And that's what one of the things that planning will help you to do. You must spot opportunities for growth and take action for your organization. So planning will help the leader to become more efficient, maximize his strength, guides towards the achievement of church growth. Proverbs 24:3-4 from the Living Bible Translation said, any enterprise, including the church of God, built by wise planning. It becomes strong through the common sense and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast to the facts. What I've shared with you from 1 to 11 before the 12th one, they are facts. Facts that have been proven to be true. But you must keep abreast to those plans. So planning will help you to locate the essential things to do in order to lead the church on the path of growth. So it is a common saying that failing to plan is planning to fail. So if you want to see growth, you must plan for growth. Let me draw a conclusion. Church growth is God's unchanging desire. Nevertheless, if there is no man to plant and water, God has nothing to cause to grow. If there's no man to plant and to water, God has nothing to cause to grow. Remember that when God created everything, until man came into the scene, nothing grew. Genesis chapter 2, you see that things began to grow after man was introduced into the garden. Now, when you read Genesis chapter 2, if you read verse 5, the Bible tells you that, look, there was no need for rain. There was no need for anything. Nothing grew until the man was introduced. Can I also tell you today that it is time for you to go and till the ground where God has placed you so that you can see the church grow and to grow exponentially. May the Lord bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Now, I know that I have just about 2 minutes. We're going to pray. One of those things is that you will commit what God had committed into your hands, into his hand, and say, Lord, please, cause it to grow. Rise up on your feet. Thank God for the privilege that you have to be involved in God's work, to be involved in the church, to be involved. I want you to pray specifically for the church you represent. Say, Lord, I receive grace over this congregation. Lord, cause this church to grow in my hand. Let it not die in my hand. Let it not die in my hand. Say, Lord, I receive grace to put into practice the principles I've learned today. I'd like you to contend with the gate that will not allow the work to grow in your hand. Contend with that grace. Say, oh, you gates, lift up your heads. Let the King of glory that bring growth, let it come in. Come in, come in, come in, come in,
Come in. Go ahead and begin to thank him. Go ahead and begin to appreciate him. Go ahead and honor him. Go ahead and magnify his holy name. Go ahead and thank him. Go ahead and thank him. I said, Lord, help me to see growth. Help me. Open my eyes to see. Lord God, growth as you see it. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see. Until you see, you have nothing to pursue. I want to pray and say, Lord, let my eyes be open. Let my eyes be open. In the mighty name of Jesus, can you see growth? Can you see? Or maybe the enemy have covered your mind to make you believe that this church cannot grow. This work cannot grow. Ask the Lord and say, Lord, help me to see and to see correctly. I pray, I want you to pray right now. Lord, grant unto me passion, the inner drive to pursue growth, the inner drive to keep planting, to keep watering, the inner drive to keep nurturing. You need to pray and say, Lord, grant me the inner drive. I want you to pray and say, Lord, baptize me with the spirit of prayer. Baptize me with the spirit of prayer that I will labor for souls in prayer. Ever fast, labor day and night for souls. I want you to pray and say, Lord, help me. I receive grace to contend with every gate that will militate against the growth of your work in my hand. In the mighty name of Jesus, wherever you are located, I want you to address the gate in that location and decree and declare that that gate be opened up for the work in your hands to grow. That gate may stop others. Decree that that gate will not stop you anymore. Will not stop you anymore. Pray that the hearts of people will be opened up even for your work to progress, to grow. I'd like you to pray right now and say, Lord, I receive grace to preach your word, that Lord God Almighty, I will preach not the enticing words of man wisdom, but Lord, I will preach in the demonstration of your spirit and of your power. Lord, I receive grace to preach the whole gospel, the complete gospel of the word of God. Lord, to correct, to instruct, to teach, so that the people that I bring in may be able to be nurtured and thoroughly furnished unto every good works. Lord God, help me. I want you to pray. Help me to go out for soul. Help me to go out for soul. Oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, oh Lord, give us passion for soul. Give us hunger for souls. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Say, Lord, help me, Lord, to preserve every soul that come into your kingdom through me. Help me to labor, to nurture them, to disciple them. Lord God Almighty, that no one will be lost. Need to wonder, Jesus said, all that the Father had given to me, none is lost except the son of perdition. I want you to pray today. Pray over those souls that none will be lost. They will be kept. They will be preserved. In the mighty name of Jesus. I'd like you to pray for grace. Pray for provision. Ask that the heaven be open. Ask the resources that you need to advance that work, to grow that work. The Lord will bring. If ravens could feed Elijah, how much more? How much more? I'd like you to pray and say, Lord, help me to plan. Help me to plan very well. Thank you, Almighty God. If you are pastors in this assembly, I'd like you to just stretch out your hand. If you are pastors in this meeting, stretch out your hand as you want to receive something. Father, I thank you because you are the God that causes things to grow. I pray that the work you have committed to the hands of this one, this work will not die. This work will grow. What they have seen, they will see the fulfillment. Lord, you will help them to see correctly. Lord, that which they see, grant them the grace to pursue it. As they pursue, they will overtake. Lord, they will possess. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray that as they preach your word, you will back up your word. You will accredit your word in their mouth with miracles, with signs, with wonders. In the name of Jesus, that under their ministry, souls will be nourished. Disciples will be raised. Even those who are opposed to the gospel, they will become obedient to the gospel under their ministry. In the mighty name of Jesus, I'm asking for wisdom for planning. Wisdom, oh God, to know what to do and how to do it. Let it be released unto them. I release unto you today the grace of the Almighty God that brings a turnaround, that brings a growth. Where there have been a spell, where the work of the enemy have militated against growth, in the environment where God has placed you, I come against that force, that power of darkness. I break his hold. I bind that strong man over the work in your hand. And I decree and declare today that work will grow. That church will grow. That ministry will move forward. You will excel. You will finish strong. You will be outstanding. You will meet with your maker with a commendation. Well done, good and faithful servant. Thank you, Almighty Father. Again, I thank you for what you are doing through this ministry. Let his ministry keep growing from region to region, from one degree to another. The spirit of excellence that is upon this ministry, let it not dwindle. Let it be on the increase. Souls that are being raised from this ministry, Lord, establish them. Preserve them to your heavenly kingdom. And your man whom you are using, please don't leave him alone. Let your grace be multiplied over his life. Thank you, Almighty Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
We are confident that you have been blessed. Do well to share with your friends and families. To listen and access more life-transforming messages and resources, download the TFPAW mobile app from any of the Play Stores or visit our website www.tfpaw.org. Do well to subscribe to our YouTube channel at official_TFPAW. Facebook and Twitter at official_TFPAW. For further inquiries and counseling, you can reach us on the following phone numbers: 0803-9413-665 and 0816-7829-390. God bless you.